Let us pray. Holy Spirit, come upon us now in this moment and lift us up through Christ to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. On my 7th birthday, I tear away the wrapping paper of the box to find a Lego Black Falcon's Fortress set. Tiny Lego knights and archers stare up at me from the box, and their compact castle sports behind them not only a drawbridge, but also a rear tower topped with black shingles and a bright yellow medieval window. Now, at the tender age of 7, I am a little too young to follow the instructions with any patience, so my mother sets to work. She presses the Lego bricks together, she layers in the different pieces, and gradually three main sections emerge from her labor on the model. There are two Lego towers that flank a drawbridge in the center, and then off to the side an L-shaped portion of the wall, and then that rear tower with the black roof and the yellow window. And at the intersection of these three segments, my mother snaps into place some of the oddest Lego pieces I've ever seen. They're little gray bricks that have hinges in the middle. They're Legos that open and fold like books. Their gray arms hold together each piece of the castle. My mother finishes her assembly, and the Black Falcon Fortress rises from the blue formica table like a miniature volcano. The parapets crenel their way around the castle, and my mother points, "Hey, watch this, Nevada." She pulls at the back of the model, and there's a faint click, and the walls then swing outward on either side of the two towers and the drawbridge. I stare in wonder at those three sections of the castle swinging on those odd little Lego pieces, the little hinge pieces. Their sturdy joints span and connect each portion. And without these bricks, the castle wouldn't hold together or be flexible enough to deal with my rough 7-year-old play. But of course, inevitably, after a week, I tear it all apart. Lego pieces scatter across the carpet as I detach the three sections from each other, and I toss the hinge pieces to the side. I don't need these. And I go about building my own vision of what a castle should look like. Now, sisters and brothers, God has given us his own Black Falcon Fortress, his own Lego set, his church. But the sad reality is that we human beings love tearing apart our Lego model. We enjoy divisions in the church. From the days of the apostles, the church has struggled with Lego pieces scattered across the carpet. As he prepares to come to Corinth for a third time, St. Paul writes, "I fear that perhaps I may come and you find me not what I wish, or I find you, excuse me, not what I wish, and that you find me not what you wish, that perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, selfishness, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder." We human beings struggle to get along. We have different ideas, we have different agendas, we have different backgrounds, and we like getting our own way. And when we don't get our own way, we often tear out some Lego pieces and we go build our own thing, our own church. And in the present moment, this is especially true in relation to people in other countries and people from ages past. In our own Anglican Communion, if someone in Africa tells us that we are violating God's law when it comes to human sexuality, we tear out our Legos and we go do our own thing. Or if a church practice comes down to us from ages past, we shake our heads in the United States. "Oh, that's an old, outdated tradition." And we tear out the Legos and we go build our own thing. And so we snub our nose at the whole church. And at a local level, we break off our Lego pieces and we build a new church in a strip mall down the road. And in the broader church, we ignore the wisdom of people in other places and other times. And all the while, we have great feelings of superiority. We are building the perfect church, the right church. And of course, liberal Christians are not alone in this danger. We traditionalist Christians can also very easily turn into people who rip out Lego pieces and go build our own thing. We can imagine that every conflict, and there are conflicts that this happens, but every conflict is a moment where we should take our Legos and go build the pure church. It's a real temptation in the REC right now, something Bishop Sutton has been pushing back against. We need to hold with the ACNA, even with all of its faults. There is no such thing as a pure church. But while we are busy deconstructing the church, God is busy rebuilding his church, his Black Falcon fortress. And he's doing it around those odd little hinge pieces. Now, our epistle reading this morning from the book of Acts shows how God goes about building his church. He layers in the different bricks, and at the intersections of the castle segments, he puts in place pieces that hold everything together. God inserts bishops. God builds bishops into the church to connect his people across time and space. As the first Christians look towards the future, they need connection to the past. Judas is dead and gone, a betrayer, a destroyer. His office, his bishopric, stands empty. But not just anyone can be an apostle, a bishop. St. Peter notes that to take the apostolic office, a man must be an odd little hinge piece, a man who holds together past, present, and future, and holds together the whole church. Peter says, "So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." God builds bishops into the church to connect his people across time. The church cannot survive if it is only the present battlements with the drawbridge, that central section. It needs bishops as hinge pieces to connect the church to the past, to Jesus and his teaching, from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us. Only then can we move into the future. The triune God uses bishops like St. Matthias to keep us accountable to those who have gone before us. But there's more. Notice in the story that St. Matthias is connected to the other apostles present. When the lots fall on Matthias, St. Luke tells us that he was counted with the 11 apostles. He connects the church to the other 11 apostles who go forth and serve all over the known world. God builds bishops into the church to also connect his people across the globe. Bishops then keep us accountable to those who live in different countries and in different places, who aren't swept up in the same kinds of troubles that we are in our own place. People with other perspectives from the outside. And so God builds bishops into our church to connect us with other Christians across time and space. And they are the odd little pieces that hold the sections of the church together. So God snaps bishops into place as centers of unity. St. Ignatius of Antioch in the second century writes, "Flee from divisions as the beginning of evils. You must all follow the bishop, as Jesus Christ followed the Father. Let no one do anything that has to do with the church without the bishop. Wherever the bishop appears, there let the congregation be, just as wherever Jesus Christ is, there is the Catholic Church." Think for a moment about our own Bishop Ordinary, the Right Reverend Ray Sutton. In his person, he holds on and passes down to us the tradition from Jesus through the apostles. The Holy Spirit snaps him into place to connect us with all those who have gone before us. And in his person, Bishop Sutton also connects us to other Christians around the world. Not only churches and Christians in our own diocese, but also churches in Africa, Latvia, Germany, and the Middle East, just to name a few. Jesus' church is far bigger than just Jackson, Mississippi. And in this way, the triune God uses Bishop Sutton and his suffragans to keep us accountable to Jesus' one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. See, God never does things in an abstract manner. God never really works in committees, so to speak. Like, oh, everybody's responsible, so no one's responsible. God works through specific people in specific relationships to hold his church together. And so when we are tempted to tear out Legos and to build our own little castles, God calls us to make sure that we are fitted snugly to those odd little hinge pieces. If your bishop holds together past, present, and future, if your bishop connects you with other Christians, then hold fast to him. Now, bishops can make mistakes. Bishop Sutton at our last deanery meeting said, look, no one bats 1,000. I tell everybody 3 things. 1, I don't bat 1,000. 2, I can't turn water into wine. And 3, I will give you everything I have. Bishops can make mistakes. And sometimes bishops break away from the Black Falcon Fortress themselves. And that's a whole other discussion. Yet God gives them to us to keep us accountable and to help us hold together to the broader church across space and time. Bishops are God's gift to us. God is always pulling us together towards unity. He's at work, and that is good news. That is gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.